You are listening to Explained, where I give you the lowdown on root causes and factors that have disrupted your health and what you can do about it.
Welcome back to It Starts in the Gut Summit. I'm Laura Frontiero. I'm here again with your host, Sinclair Keneally, and she's an expert in all things root cause for digestive and chronic illnesses. I'm interviewing her on a different root cause that is overlooked and misunderstood. And today's talk, we're focusing on my favorite topic. We're talking about mold. The reason it's my favorite topic is because it links every root cause together. And so Sinclair is going to explain why there's a link between mold and your parasites and your EMFs and your metals and all of it. So Sinclair, let's dive into mold and maybe talk a little bit about your own experience with mold.
Let's start there. So I think it's really important for people to understand that we're not just getting smarter about recognizing mold issues. In this day and age, in the functional medicine community, mold is actually a much bigger deal, and it's much more toxic now than it was even 10, 15 years ago. And this one statistic will help explain that. So mold itself is a colonizer. It is alive. It has its own consciousness, and it's very intelligent. It actually excretes, so its poop is poison, and that's mycotoxins. So you have mold, and then you have mycotoxins, which is what mold excretes. And these mycotoxins actually kill off other bugs preferentially to protect the mold and make room for it so that it can grow and set up shop and get access to all the good resources, whether it's inside someone's body or in a home or in a forest. You know, there's an intelligence to this. And mold will actually excrete up to 600 times the amount of mycotoxins in the presence of Wi-Fi. And if you think about how long Wi-Fi has been in our homes, it hasn't been that long. So your grandma's mold is not your mold. You know, I don't know about you, but I had grandparents that grew up in the Depression and they saw mold on food and they just cut off that little bit and they kept on going. They're like, it's fine. Eat it. You know, they had a very healthy, you know, understanding of what was important to them and what wasn't. But we've only invited Wi-Fi routers and smart devices into our home in like basically the last 15 years is how it has become widespread. So this is a rapidly evolving issue because not only is mold, does it have like a whole set of strategies to make life difficult for you, but those have become much, much more potent in a very short period of time. Like I, for example, had, you know, a leaky car living in Portland in the Pacific Northwest. There are no garages. It's all historic, beautiful homes with no garages. So it rained all the time. My car had a little bit of a seal leak that they couldn't find, or it was too expensive. I don't remember. I was in my 20s. Who cares when you're in your 20s about like...
You're invincible.
The door. Yeah, whatever. It smells bad. It's okay. Just don't leave stuff at that. You know, it was like right behind the driver's seat. And yeah, it would smell every time it rained, which was like all the time, but it was fine. Whatever. Sold that car, moved on down the road. And then I had mold in my window leaked behind my office window, like in my office at work. And yeah, when I walked in the morning, I was already in a whole lot of pain because I was chronically ill by that point. And I would actually go into a panic attack sitting down at my desk and my brain would fog up and I wouldn't be able to read an email or a P&L report, or remember what the person in front of me was saying. But I thought, oh, it's just depression and anxiety, right? I feel a whole lot better when I leave my office. I'll go out there and have meetings. I would do everything I could to not have a meeting in that office because the mold had actually taken up shop like in the carpet right there. But the Wi-Fi router was also right next to my office and it was strong enough to blast out across the whole building to several thousand square feet. So yeah, we had a little bit of a situation there.
So the mold loved it in there with the high EMF and
it was damp. Yeah, it was perfection. It was heaven. And the thing that most people don't understand, and I really want to myth bust about this today, many of you that have been on a mold journey will be like, yeah, duh, I know that. But we all had to learn this the hard way. Mold exposure, once you remove yourself from the exposure, doesn't mean that you've removed the mold inside because mold will set up inside within 24 hours and it will colonize you if the conditions are right. And when you look at the numbers, the data about water damaged buildings in the United States, over half the buildings in the United States have been water damaged at some point. It only takes 24 hours for mold to set up shop. And it takes only, you know, a short-term exposure for you to actually have that mold get breathed in through your nose, through your sinuses, through your lungs, or land on something and get absorbed and you eat it. You know, there's a lot of different ways for it to happen. We'll talk about one of those in one of my client stories in a minute. It's really important to understand that you may have moved out of the mold exposure. It doesn't mean the mold moved out of you.
It's so scary. We test mold all the time in my practice too. And I talk to people all the time that mold, like, what, how? There's no mold in my house. Let's talk about what mold symptoms are. How do people might know that they have been exposed to mold and knowing that those mycotoxins don't go away? They're in you.
So, well, for one, gut issues, right? Gut issues are a huge one. And that could be from liver stagnation because mold is so efficient at shutting down the liver. Now, why would it want to do that? It wants to do that because it wants to suppress your immune system. So it will shut down your liver efficiency. It will, by extension, make your bile sluggish almost immediately. So your bile is not flowing into your digestive tract the way we want it to at the speed and efficiency that it should every time you eat to neutralize your stomach acid. So then your stomach acid lowers. Remember how we were talking about how the liver actually performs and how the relationship between the liver, the gallbladder, and the stomach in day one? Mm-hmm. Got to go back and watch that video because it's so important to understand this foundational piece. So we can get all kinds of gut symptoms just from mold exposure. And that's without understanding that candida will kind of come along in behind mold and go, oh, thank you. You've made this such a nice home for me. And because we're pretty related, we're, you know, fungus cousins, I'll just set up and get cozy here.
Yeah.
So gut issues is a huge red flag. Fatigue is a huge red flag. Mold can basically shut down mitochondrial function, creates brain fog, it creates neurological issues, it creates thyroid issues. And, you know, we have to look at the mechanisms of action. So if mold shuts down the liver or makes or compromises its efficiency, what is that doing to your other detox pathways? It's putting more pressure on them, guys. So what are your other detox pathways? Well, for one thing, for women, reproductive systems. So mold actually has a very distorting effect on our ability to regulate our own hormones, not just because of what's happening to the liver, but also because of the pressure it puts on the reproductive system to then become a primary detox pathway, which it should not be. It should be a secondary detox pathway. Mold also shuts down our ability to sweat. We want to be sweating out 25% of our uric acids through the skin every day. That should be like an easy, ongoing, no problemo. I'm going to sweat out, you know, 2 cups of gross sweat from my healthy feet every day, right? Which yeah. You can't. So you can't do that though when your feet are calloused because you've been exposed to heavy metals and now you have mold and now you're not sweating out anything. Go ahead, hon.
I was going to say, I used to be so proud that I could work out and not sweat.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I did, too.
I'm like, people are like, why don't you sweat? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just perfect that way.
Wow. I didn't even think about it until you said that. But my dad also didn't sweat. Mm-hmm. And he had been exposed to mold. And it took us forever to figure this out. So I just thought it ran in the family like, oh, we're so delicate. We're not sweaty and gross. Mm-hmm. But actually, it was just that we'd both been exposed to mold.
Mold story, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So the lack of ability to sweat, irritable bowel syndrome, because your whole microbiome throughout your digestive tract is thrown off by this aggressive fungus, you know, liver issues, you get rashy because your skin can't excrete and breathe properly and because your liver's overloaded. So, you know, everything from eczema, psoriasis, to, you know, just rashy, weird food sensitivity style things. We're like, oh, I flare in my skin from time to time. Gee, I wonder why. Yeah, it could be food sensitivities. That could be a component. And also mold is a part of that picture. But really, I think the most heartbreaking one is the brain fog, the anxiety, the depression, and the memory and cognitive issues. And I know that that was something that you had to go through.
Yeah. And I didn't even understand or realize my mold story until I was in my 40s. I was exposed to mold without getting into a long story about it. I was exposed to 3 moldy living conditions right before I went off to college. And I spent my first 2 years of college barely being able to get up and get to class because I was so exhausted and so sleepy. And so it was so hard. I was on academic probation. I literally got like straight F's my first semester of college. And I spent a lifetime beating myself up for not being smart enough, for not being enough. And it wasn't until I realized, oh my gosh, I had a massive mold exposure and colonization. And I think over years and years, it took decades, I think, for my immune system to deal with it as best as it could. The damage was done. And I still, all those little things, like I didn't sweat and I still had some brain fogginess. I mean, obviously, I eventually graduated from college. That was the acute phase of it, right? Where I was just sleepy, depressed, and brain foggy. And yeah, it took a long time to recover. And it wasn't until my 40s that I was actually realized it and went on a massive mold detox.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And unfortunately, that's the story of a lot of people that come to us, right? Mm-hmm. And this can affect you. It's so important to understand whether you're 5 or you're 85. It's a big deal. Like we have a 5-year-old that we're working with in our practice right now, and her parents brought her to us because her dad worked with us first and had crazy rashy, like he looked like a reptilian lizard by the time he got to us. He was in so much agony over his skin. And of course, he'd been exposed to mold. And I tried to tell them, you know, this is a family-wide issue. And they're like, oh no, everyone else is fine. And that's really common because you could have 5 people in the same house and have 5 people to respond to mold in a different way. And there's so many different symptoms that mold can express as that they may not overlap at all.
Talk about that a little bit, because genetics has something to do with it. So talk about that genetic piece and why some people might react worse than others.
There is a genetic piece to it. It's the HLA-DR gene. And, you know, there are several variations. This is really complex. And actually, Rika goes into this in her talk. So you want to catch that here on the summit. So I won't spend too much time on that piece. Essentially, like 25% of the population has this gene mutation where it makes it much more difficult for the people who have this to break down mold and mycotoxins. So they tend to build up more in your system. But anybody can get affected by mold, especially in the presence of Wi-Fi and how complex that has become, right? And it's really important for us to understand that this is not just about like, well, I haven't lived in an old house. I've only lived in new houses. Great, except for, you know, those are built to be super airtight. So it's really easy for mold that loves to snack on drywall, if there's even a little bit of water damage, for it to just set up shop. And it could be behind your drywall and you could never see it. Or you might get lucky and see the water damage and figure this out. But this family, you know, he was really the canary in the coal mine, this poor guy. And unfortunately, he'd done the whole route of, you know, the circuit of functional medicine celebrities by the time he finally got to us. And they had crashed him because a lot of people don't understand how to look for this still. And they don't understand what to do with it once they find it. So we got him well. And that took a few months. And I said, but the kids are fine. You know, they're the sweetest little girls. But, you know, one of them just happens to be really emotional, very difficult to settle, easily, you know, overwhelmed, easily overstimulated. But that's just her personality. It's not just her personality. It is very common for people who have mold symptoms and exposure to be very easily overstimulated by light, by sound, you know, by EMFs. Because if you have mold in your body and you come into a high EMF environment, that mold thinks that it's under attack. That's why it's dumping so many mycotoxins, up to 600 times what it would otherwise, because it wants to use that frequency range to communicate within its colony. And so it's almost like you're jamming its signal. So it's like, well, wait a minute, somebody's trying to kill us. We better fight back. And this poor little girl was sleeping right on the other side of the wall to the family EMF, that family Wi-Fi router. Could not settle at night. Popping up and down, bedtime was a huge fight. She'd get hysterical when it was time to go to bed because she had been, you know, she had these guys in her body and she felt under attack. So she finally gets rashy a whole year later. So they finally bring her in. And I already know when we get the labs back that it's going to be super high in mold. And of course it is. And it's similar strains to her dad. So it's a picture that's unfolding. And I say, how's her immune system? And they say, oh, funny, you should ask. She's sick all the time. But yeah, of course she is, because, you know, common colds, flu-like symptoms frequently because the immune system is suppressed by mold. So that's another major sign of mold exposure. Emotional challenges, easily overstimulated, doesn't excrete well. So you get real rashy and weird. And of course, the immune system suppression. So frequent viruses.
Yeah, this is a really big deal. And it's oftentimes an answer to why I've seen multiple practitioners and I just can't get well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because even if a practitioner is smart enough to test for this, doesn't mean they know what to do with it once they find it. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem because they want to throw a lot of really harsh stuff at this without cleaning out the body and doing it in the order that the body wants it to happen and at a pace that is tolerable. So you get a lot of like, oh, we're just going to throw, you know, this whole cocktail at this, you know, we're going to do some nice statins. We're going to do like three other things. And we're going to, you know, do like 10 herbal supplements. And, you know, we'll throw in a few IVs for good measure. You'll be done with this in no time, like 30 days tops or 60 days tops. That's not how this works. You want to chip away at this at a pace that is tolerable for you with products that actually work and work with your body and don't strip it of its energy and its ability to maintain itself in the process.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can expect to crash.
Totally. And don't you also want to look at other critters that could be in there that are coexisting and helping the mold to thrive or vice versa?
Yeah, because mold doesn't hang out on its own, right? It's like the people that get obsessed about EBV in our community. You know, there's a certain author that loves to do that, which I'll go unnamed, who says everything is EBV. But okay, but EBV is always present with friends. Mold is always present with friends. Mold creates the perfect conditions because it's so immune suppressive for parasites to set up shop. And that's why parasites and mold fit so beautifully together. And especially with the stagnation of the liver, oh man, you got like the perfect trifecta there. So you've got to tune in for that talk where we break down what parasites have to do with gut health and how a lot of this actually, all these root causes work together to create the gut issues, which then create the chronic illnesses in turn. So you got to understand the dominoes and go far enough upstream to see what the real issues are. Do I have time for one more story, do you think?
We do. And there's a couple of things I want you to cover. I want to make sure we cover water systems and hidden mold, because that's a big one. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about purified water and people don't realize their purified water could be making them sick. Mm-hmm. And any more myth busters you want to talk about?
Yeah, the story I want to tell is actually about water. So that's perfect. Okay, so let's do that. So I had an amazing client and we worked with her whole family and she came to us really, really sick. She had colitis in a really big way. She couldn't take a sip of water without excreting, you know, mucus or blood in the beginning. And it was very difficult for her. And she had some mold exposure, right? So as soon as we started healing her digestive tract so that she could actually take in a little certain foods and actually start to reclaim her ability to have normal bowel movements, she started seeing huge amounts of stones come out. And I'd been talking to her about mold. She's like, no, I don't think that's it. It's like, we have to run this panel now. You have way too many stones volunteering. You know, we're not even on like a liver stone protocol yet. We're just giving your body the barest touch of gentle support to heal the colitis. And you're already volunteering hundreds and hundreds of stones. There's more work to be done. We got to look under the hood. So I convinced her to do these panels. And sure enough, she comes back really high in mold, like off the charts in certain mycotoxins. So much so that the lab actually calls us and says, do you know how to work with this intensive a picture? Because we almost never see this. How many times has a lab in your whole career done that?
Yeah, very rarely. I mean, there's like panic values, right? We call it a panic value. That's a panic value.
Panic value. Yeah. And she had already made so much progress in her health that she was like, really? I don't believe this. Said, yeah, this actually happened. Like a lab tech called us and wanted to make sure we knew what to do with you. So we're chipping away at this and said, we have to get your house tested. No. I was exposed to mold as a child. I had this barky cough. I had asthma. I was like, yes, all that is probably true. You have to remember that we can have multiple exposures to mold, that it's not in the house. It's not in the house. I think it's in the house. I think we need to check. So we help her find a mold mitigation specialist locally that we think is trustworthy. Take him out to the house. They don't find anything. And I'm pissed because
it's in there.
And I think that they have overlooked something. Meanwhile, we're also having this ongoing negotiation with her that as much as she loves and is proud of the investment she made in her reverse osmosis system for the home, it's not actually safe. It's not the best water. And we'd never recommend reverse osmosis. We always recommend distilled water because we know for a fact that it will be glyphosate-free. It'll be pharmaceutical waste-free. It'll be herbicide and pesticide-free. It'll be, you know, microplastic-free. It'll be VOC-free because you'll also have the charcoal filter off the top of the spout. These things, it'll be heavy metal-free. These things are essential. You cannot have your body look at your water as if it is a toxic exposure. You will never drink enough of it. It will not be hydrating. So she did not want to get a distiller because she did not like the sound that they make and the, you know, space they take up in the kitchen.
So, I know. I've got one. I know.
I know. So this is an ongoing negotiation with her. And, you know, meanwhile, she's making huge gains in her health. She's offloading, you know, hundreds of feet of parasites, thousands of stones. You know, she's doing a phenomenal job. She's able to eat normally again. She can eat the rainbow foods. She's so happy and healthy and has so much energy. She can't lose weight. And she still has a bit of fatigue. Like, her temperament's come back. She's full of life, but she knows she's still off. And we're having this negotiation about water in the background. She finally gives in and gets a water distiller. Okay, great. Now she gets it. She loves the water distiller. The whole family uses the water distiller. What she doesn't tell me is it's not the only thing that she's using. So suddenly, a long ways into working with her, she starts getting heart palpitations. She can't get let go of her fluid. I'm like, what is up with this woman? Like, we know exactly what to do with mold. And her lab values are coming down with mold. What is happening right now? Why is this certain type of mold going up and these other lab values for other types of mold going down? We can't get the fluid off of her. That's not normal. We know exactly how to get that off. And she's getting these heart palpitations. Never had that before. She didn't tell us that as she got everybody excited about the distiller didn't have the capacity to take care of everybody in the house. So she was occasionally using water from the reverse osmosis filter. Although now, almost no one is using the reverse osmosis filter most of the time. So it's even more stagnant than it was. And reverse osmosis filters mold. They mold over after just a few months, sometimes sooner, and they hadn't switched it out. It's a difficult process to do. So not only was she getting this ongoing exposure of mold from her reverse osmosis filter, that she was so proud of the investment for the family. They did all this research to get the right one. But then they stopped using it as much, so it was even more stagnant. So the mold concentration went up. So she had been getting better steadily, rapidly, beautifully, and then all of a sudden her health tanked, but in a new way, because she went back to using the reverse osmosis filter sometimes so that her family could also use the distilled water. It was like, oh my God, we finally figured it out. She got rid of it immediately. She stopped using it, wouldn't let anybody else use it. And her symptoms went away like that. Heart palpitations, gone.
Incredible.
And by the way, this was scary enough that she ended up in the ER multiple times and had every panel run under the sun. Like, something's really wrong. Mm-hmm. They were that scary. So you have to understand that mold is tricky. It hides really well. You have to learn about the exposures and you have to get really good at understanding the symptoms and how they can affect you. Like, she'd never had heart palpitations before in her life. She'd had the other mold symptoms mm-hmm. before. So I hope that everybody takes that and goes and tells everybody else that they love about it.
Absolutely. And I almost bought a reverse osmosis system and I'm so glad I didn't, because that's a big investment. Yes. Instead, we have a simple distiller. It works great.
Yeah. But I can't tell you how few practitioners know about this still, because you and I are in, you know, groups, many different functional medicine groups of different functional medicine practitioners. And I see on a rate at least once a week, hey, what's your favorite reverse osmosis filter? Can everybody chime in, please? None. And I'm the only one that says it in the thread. And they're all like, oh my God, I never heard that. So it's still like, we need to get the information out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Distilled water, everybody. And, you know, for everybody that you get on distilled water, they fight about it. Like, oh, but I have a Berkey and I have a reverse osmosis and I have a blah, blah, blah. And like, just please get. And then they switch to that. Water goes to a whole new level. They feel more hydrated. My mom actually said, it doesn't hurt when I drink water anymore. Who hurts when they drink water? Mm. People with, yeah.
Water doesn't hurt anymore. Oh no.
I know. All right. So we talked all about mold today. Is there any final words you want to share about mold before we wrap and remind everybody what's coming?
Yeah, I want you to remember that some of the things that we've already covered, mold can look different in different people. Mold can often be the originator, the root cause of the root cause. So if you have gut issues, look to liver stagnation. If you have liver stagnation, look to mold, look to heavy metals, look to all of these things that we're covering today. Remember that mold comes with friends. It's like a neon sign right over your gut. hey, come on down, worms. Set up shop. I made it so nice for you. Seriously. So if you have parasites and you're working on parasites and you already know it, check and make sure that you don't have mold as well. And the last thing I'll say is if you do have mold exposure in your home, remember that you have to treat your home and treat yourself. Please don't treat your home on your own. Please don't throw bleach at it. Okay. You want to work with a mold mitigation specialist and think about how mold thinks and travels. So if you have mold in your home, you might have it in your HVAC system, right? You have to think about how it thinks and work with a professional. Keep yourself safe. It's so worth it. And don't give up. It's a process. I know this can sound expensive. There's always something you can do to protect yourself. And you are so worth it.
Yeah. And your kids and your significant other. And if you're of childbearing age, just remember you're passing this stuff on.
Yeah. And one of my clients this morning, we were talking about this. She's had mold exposure. Of course, I knew she did the second I met her. The emotional profile was right there. And, she's got the liver stagnation, all that stuff. And so we're working on it. And of course, her next set of questions, as soon as she's got her protocol in place, is, what do I do about my kitties? I think my kitties have mold symptoms. So there is stuff that you can do for your pets as well.
Yep. And you know how to do it. That's the amazing thing about you, Sinclair. When people work with you, the whole family benefits, including the pets.
I know. It's like, come on, bring them all in. Because they start like at the edge of the Zoom, like, what are you doing in there? Okay, can I listen in? I just have just one quick question. And then by the end, it's like everybody's in the Zoom.
Everybody's getting help. It's so great. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be a part of it with you.
Thank
and
you.
Help you share it to the world.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.